This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning and welcome in. We're Grant and Danny and you're listening to The Fan. It's Tuesday, June 19th, 2018. Remember yesterday, Danny? I said, here we are. It's late June-ish.
We're in the doldrums.
And nothing's going on.
Nothing
and we'll just
happening now.
Talk about whatever we see fit because there's really nothing pressing. That was yesterday.
Yeah, and then I think it was like 2 hours later, Universe went, watch this.
We've got two major stories in DC sports today. They're going to keep us busy for the next 4 hours.
Yeah, buddy.
The first of which is that, as Pete was just talking about, head coach Barry Trotz, who guided the Washington Capitals to their first ever Stanley Cup, is out. He resigns after a 2-year clause in his contract, basically a mutual option that immediately vested when and if the team won a cup kicked in. He didn't want to coach at that money. The Capitals didn't want to give him any more of a raise than the reported $300,000 that they were, so he stepped down. The other of the big stories came last night when the Nationals made a massive trade, and I really don't think people understand how big of a deal this really is. Kelvin Herrera, if you rank the top 10 available players at the trade deadline this year, is in the top five. He was going to be a closer for a contender. The Nationals, just like they did last year, they did it last year in early July during the All-Star festivities in Miami, about 3 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
But they just beat everybody to the punch to get a really good player in bringing in Kelvin Herrera, who is going to be a setup man for them. They're going to keep Sean Doolittle in the closer's role. And so if you get Ryan Madsen, who's 37 years old, pitching the way he's capable of, and you get Brandon Kinsler back healthy and throwing like he was for much of the season, you have four guys with closing experience who can pitch in the back end of your bullpen who can all dominate if they're right. Very few teams have that.
Yeah, and I think they've now kind of, woken up to the trend here in Major League Baseball that it's not just, all right, we got a good closer. We'll figure the rest out. You need matchups. You need nails. You need a bunch of guys when that barn door swings open that are nasty sons of guns, rooting, tooting, you know, fire spitting, filth animals. And that's what Kelvin Herrera is. That's a guy that's set up for a World Series team. That's a guy that was having as dominant a season as anybody in baseball in the American League. Granted, for a team that's long out of it, hence the availability coming from Kansas City. But the nose plays. It's upper 90s. It moves all over the place. He is nasty. He is tough. There's going to be some shell shock leaving the only organization that he's known since he was a teenager, but I think maybe an outing or two aside, he will help them. I view this two ways. One, a weapon in the bullpen that they needed that will give guys a break. The second way is, I don't want to say it's a vote of no confidence. It's probably too far to say that. I think it's a, hey, Kinsler's on the DL with a forearm thing. Madsen had a little bit of an issue, even though he's throwing in the upper 90s, he's been touched up more than we're used to seeing here from Ryan Madsen, a guy that has a great track record. We'd feel a little bit better if we had a little more certainty down there.
Again, he's 37 years old.
Yeah, and I understand
that. And he's also been on the DL this year.
Absolutely, and that's kind of my point here. This is a, just in case these other two guys that we feel very confident in aren't themselves, we need a fallback option. If they are themselves, now we've got a weapon.
Well, they were also way overworked.
Of course,
we talked
absolutely,
about
absolutely.
What was happening in the back of the bullpen was completely unsustainable. Doolittle at times would be overworked in the sense that he would throw three straight days. But for the most part, if you look at the pace he was on in terms of appearances and how many innings he was going to stockpile, it was nothing like what Madsen was at one point, certainly what Kinsler was at one point,
Sammy Solis,
among other guys. So they had to go get some reinforcements just to help. They've done it from the minors with Wander Suero and Tim Collins and Justin Miller now, and as good as he's been, by the way, they might feel like they're five deep with guys they can trust in the seventh inning or later. And we'll be talking about the bullpen throughout the day today. Barry Svrluga is going to join us coming up in 55 minutes at 11 to discuss the Kelvin Herrera trade and just how many ripple effects this could have for the Nationals in their pen. But of all the guys they've added over the years, whether it's Doolittle last year, who's been lights out, Madsen last year, who was fantastic and has been solid this season, you go back to Mark Melancon, Jonathan Papelbon. I mean, they're always kind of in the market for these relievers in season. Herrera probably has the best track record over the last several years of any of them. He's a multi-time All-Star with an ERA a tick over one, who has won a recent World Series, and he's actually been in two of the last three All-Star games. He throws 99 and touches 100. He is really good, and I'm really excited about this trade. I actually think it might be a bigger deal, frankly, than the Barry Trotz news yesterday. Only because the Barry Trotz news didn't surprise me yesterday. The only part of the Barry Trotz news that I found stunning was that a two-year extension had actually already kicked in that none of us knew about.
Right.
That was shocking because nobody reported that at any point. None of us knew he was under contract already. But now we know why he was so weird when he said some things have to be worked out. We've got to talk about some things a few days ago at Kettler. It's because he was already under contract and everyone was asking if he was going to re-sign. And he didn't have to re-sign because the two-year deal kicked in. View this as, let's say, John Carlson was a free agent, we all thought. If John Carlson leads the NHL in points, automatically two more years kicks in on his deal where the Caps don't have to negotiate and he doesn't have to negotiate. None of us knew it. Well, the only thing John Carlson could do, basically, if he didn't want to play at that contract, is quit, is retire.
Right.
And that's basically what Barry Trotz did
and
yesterday.
And again, this goes to the frustrating at times, I would say, monumental network policy of they don't disclose very many details when it comes to executives and coaches and front office members' contracts. We find out under cloak and dagger. It just, you know, it just so happened that Brian McCullen at one point let it slip over T, I guess, that he had an extension. And we have to find out way after the fact that Ernie Grunfeld had been signed to an extension. It's a frustrating policy because this kind of stuff doesn't come out and we can't really digest it until sort of after the fact. This is a lot to process here. By and large, Capitals fans are upset about this, right? If you're doing the scales, right? I think they would probably default to saying this doesn't look very good for a myriad of reasons. I understand that. I will say that I think it's nuanced and complicated because the Capitals, as I understand it, could basically say, "Tough, dude. You signed this thing. You put this into provision 4 years ago that if this ever happened, the escalator kicks in. We could just right now force you to coach our hockey team at this payment." They were even willing to, I don't want to say tear that
up. They could do that legally. That's not necessarily good business.
I'm not saying it is, but they'd be within their contractual rights to say,
"Sure,
no, pipe down, coach for what you agreed to." Now, the game has changed in terms of coaching and salaries and the like. So they allowed for some renegotiation. They're also allowing him out of that deal. They're allowing him to walk away from 2 years and without compensation. So the Capitals aren't total villains here, in my mind, and that's kind of my point.
Well, total villains in that Trotz is making the decision to leave.
Right. A lot of fans, I think, are furious at the Capitals today.
Yeah, I don't think they should be furious at the Capitals, but they were trying to underpay Barry Trotz, who now has some leverage, and said no thank you.
That's the other part of it.
By the way, they mishandled this, if you believe that Barry Trotz is a really good coach, because he was in a lame duck year. Mm-hmm. And when you allow things, we talked about this with Cousins, we talked about this with a bunch of contracts in this town, when you allow contracts to linger and feelings to get involved, things get sideways on you sometimes. This got sideways on you. They kept Todd Reirden around, who's going to be the successor, I don't care what anybody says, because he was the coach in waiting all along. It created tension and oddity and some weird friction between the coaching staff, as we've read about recently with some of the reporting done in the Washington Post. So if you want to say who's more to blame for Barry Trotz not being around, him or the Caps, even though he stepped away, I think the Caps botched this more than Barry Trotz did. I don't have a huge issue with it, though. What I will say is Todd Reirden better be a damn good coach. Because they put a bunch of eggs in the Todd Reirden basket for the last couple of seasons. They decided when they were thinking about firing Barry Trotz, when they didn't let him interview anywhere else, hey, we're going to create an odd working environment to some extent. We're going to create some friction on this staff. But we're going to name Todd Reirden our coach in waiting unofficially. And everyone's going to know it because he's not allowed to go interview anywhere else. We're not going to extend Barry Trotz when we extend Brian McClellan. Weird practice. I mean, they did a lot of things that were strange, I thought, during this process for a guy who's one of the five winningest coaches in NHL history, who is unmatched in terms of current coaches and the success they've had over the last 12, 15 years, and now he's won you a Stanley Cup. I don't have a huge problem with it because I didn't think they were going back to the Stanley Cup anyway. I think it's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're getting back to the Eastern Conference Final or winning a Stanley Cup. So he goes elsewhere, he'll be fine. They move on, they're going to be competitive and good, and they're going to be fine for the next couple of years. No one needs to be furious about this. I think the way I would view it if I was a Caps fan is, I wish that didn't happen. My buddy texted me, goes, are we upset about this? I said, well, I wish Barry Trotz was still here. But I didn't expect him to be back. I thought there was a lot of water under this bridge all year, and it wasn't going to be healed by a title. Here was the GM, Brian McClellan, on the negotiations with Barry Trotz.
Our discussions with his representative centered around that and what he was looking to accomplish through negotiations. So we had several discussions on what they were looking for and about the existing contract, and we weren't able to come to an agreement.
Here's what we don't know. What would Barry Trotz have accepted? The reported number is a little bit less than $2 million per year is what he would have made after his raise now that kicks in. And again, he agreed to this deal several years ago, obviously, as you pointed out. But it's a little bit more money than the Rangers just paid a college coach who they hired, who's never coached in the NHL before. There are coaches in the NHL that make over $5 million a year, twice as much as what Barry Trotz, the reigning champion and a very credentialed coach, was about to make nearly two decades in his time in the league. So he obviously wanted more money. They don't pay a lot of money. Look at the Wizards. Look at the Capitals. Really, other than Scott Brooks, it's not what they have done. Here was McClellan, by the way, on Todd Reirden. And now they're saying, basically, that this is the beginning of a process, even though it seems like the first candidate is going to be the last candidate.
You know, we need to take a breather here, but I think Todd's a good candidate for it. You know, I'd like to sit down with Todd and have a normal interview, head coaching interview, see what... You know, I think most of our discussions are just casual. It's about hockey in general. But I'd like to, you know, do a formal interview with him and just see if there's differences or how we see the things the same and if he's a possibility for the head coach.
I think he's saying what he's got to say there.
Right.
I think it's a done deal. Todd Reirden's the next head coach, and they've known it since early this season.
Unless he does like a weird like improv exercise or something in the interview, you know, or does what Greg Williams did, and he said he might do something different than Joe Gibbs did. Well, he was sequestered for six days at Dan Snyder's house. This time he's probably got a good shot at it. But I got a lot to say about one of the things that you brought up, and I think it's really important. The cheap part of this, or that's the impression of cheapness, I think it doesn't look very good. And that's where I think the Caps and this organization and really Monumental Sports and even the Nationals to a degree deserve some criticism here. If there's an impression that you're not willing to do something based on cost, if that's the only reason, doesn't look very good.
800-636-1067 is the number. For the first time this morning on Grant and Danny, let's open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines. Barry Trotz is out. There was a lot of hope that he was going to come back. What's your reaction to the fact that he stepped down with a two-year extension having kicked in? Because it sounds like he wanted more either control, power, money than he was able to get after winning this organization its first ever Stanley Cup and getting to the playoffs in all four of his years here. Had a heck of a run. You're listening to G&D on the Fan. Hey, guys. Grant Paulson from Metropolitan Moving and Storage, a trusted provider with a proven track record with services the entire D.C. metro area, Maryland, D.C., Virginia. They move locally. I stayed in Alexandria. They move me. They move you nationally. They've moved people as far out to Colorado. My in-laws, who I had moved to Cape Charles, like 6 hours away, use them as well. Matter of fact, they moved my brother and his wife and his wife's parents, because I tell everyone when they're moving, use Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Use my buddies John and Robert. They are too good. They're local. They've built this thing from the ground up. And while it's a local company, it's family owned, they're also big in terms of their performance, their production. They pack you. They store you. They unpack you. Ratings with Angie's List, Superior Service Award, 1% of companies get it, 10 years in a row by maintaining those A-plus ratings year after year. They are phenomenal. They're moving 80 people per week right now. They've gone from one truck to up around 20 trucks. It's just a great operation. It's why they move JP from the Junkies, Chad, CK, me, Drabby, Andy Poland. They're basically the official, unofficial mover of 106.7 The Fan. Call them up, 301-279-0090 if you're moving. 301-279-0090 or go to DCMetropolitanMoving.com and tell them GP sent you.
It's
he was resigning and he wasn't coming back. At the exact same time, we found those things out. The question we've got for you is, I guess let's start with just a basic reaction. How bad is this news for the Capitals? How big of a deal is this? And what is your level of frustration, anger, concern, disappointment? A lot of Caps fans are furious. I'm not. I guess part of it was I prepared myself for this. I thought there was a chance he was going to get fired in November. And at that point, he didn't get extended and the GM did. They had basically prepared for the life of Todd Reirden taking over.
Mm-hmm.
Reirden, for those of you who don't know, is largely their defensive mind and has done a really good job grooming their kids. They think he is going to be a very good NHL coach. And they prepared him for that role for some time, which was part of, I think, Barry Trotz's frustration here. But I think there were enough obstacles that were cleared on the way to the cup that as Barry Trotz looks back, he goes, man, you're going to have to pay me to keep me. You want to keep me around? You better pay me an amount of money that I know you're not firing me, that I know you're not going to Reirden, that I know I am revered by this organization. And I just think they kind of liked him. I think him and McClellan probably butted heads a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they did.
A lot of good coaches and good GMs do. And I think it was more like than love. They have an agreement. You either want to coach it about $2 million or you don't. And he said, we're fine. We won a cup together. We had a good run. You don't respect me as much as I'd like to be respected. I'll go coach somewhere else. You've got Todd Reirden, and everyone's going
to
be okay.
The market has changed. I'd like to be paid accordingly. Not the top, not what Babcock's making, but double what I am making. Stanley Cup winning coaches are making twice as much, if not more, than what Barry Trotz is in line to make. The Capitals seem to be willing to go to the negotiating table, but not seem to be willing to match it or get close enough to the offer. So now we've got, whatever it's hurt feelings or not, Barry Trotz walks away. A couple things I can't escape here. Thing number one, Monumental Sports is in charge. And it's very hard for fans of all the four DC sports teams to run a balance sheet where they go, you retain Ernie Grunfeld, hundreds of games below 500. They're getting ready to sell the 15th overall pick in order to get out from one of his terrible contracts in the hopes that they can do something this summer. That's the little flare gun they've shot up in the air as of the last 24 hours. It'd be a bigger story if these other couple things hadn't happened in DC sports. This terrible executive, who should have been canned a long time ago, is back without problem. And you can't find a way to pony up a little more money for the Stanley Cup winning coach? Now, you're confident in Todd Reirden. That's all well and good. The NHL head coaching tenures, it's unusual to have a Lifetime Achievement Award guy. They switch a lot. It's every couple years for these guys. For the most part, NHL head coaches are treated the way the Nationals treat their managers, to be honest with you. Most of these guys are not permanent fixtures. So that's the culture. 5 years is a long time. I understand that because that would make close to a decade behind the bench. That's unusual in the NHL. I don't like the idea that this is a Brian McClellan, you know, kind of crying poverty at the podium. When he said the big market teams can do this, you just set records for a parade, for your 400 some odd sellouts in a row. People are buying merchandise. My boy, I know a guy that's about to get a Stanley Cup tattoo on his arm.
Number 7 market in the country, by the way.
And you're gonna tell me you can't afford it? That's bothersome to me. That part irks me. I understand why Capitals fans would be miffed and upset today. If it's a question of cheapness, if it's a question of we're not willing to do that much money, if you don't think he's the right fit anymore and you guys butted heads, you want him to walk away, you know, as the white knight, kind of the king of the mountain that got you the trophy, by all means, we could part company because we've got someone in-house that we like just as much. If it's a matter of we don't want to pony up the dough, if it's cheapness, if it's fiscal solvency, that
see,
is
irritating.
I think
they would pay if they loved or felt like they needed to keep Trotz. I don't think when they sit around in a boardroom and make this decision with Ted Leontis and Dick Patrick and mainly Brian McClellan that they feel that way. I feel like they feel like they've got a great staff with Forsyth, with Lambert, and most importantly, with Reirden, who they really like.
Who they really like, yeah.
And by the way, I will defer to you guys. You have earned the benefit of the doubt, Brian McClellan. You have earned wiggle room here. You have earned the luxury of getting to call your own shots here. However, you better be right on Todd Reirden because you're letting a really good coach walk out the door.
Right, who stabilized things here.
I will also say this, and I think it does need to be said. While Barry Trotz is an outstanding head coach and has been since he was in Nashville years and years ago with Hare, he did his best coaching job this year. And let's say he is a 6 out of 10 as a coach or a 7 out of 10. This year was an 8 or a 9. In the same way that paying players off of career years can be bad business,
mm-hmm.
the honeymoon of just giving Barry Trotz whatever he wants after this run, where everything kind of came together and clicked and you got lucky and you had a hell of a 2 months, that can also be bad business. However, there's no salary cap. You're just paying a lot for a coach that you know the floor is. This is a really good hockey coach.
I'd love to find out exactly where the Capitals are willing to go here, because that would assuage a lot of it for me.
That is what I would almost need to know before I go hard.
Exactly.
So if they said to Barry Trotz, we'll pay you $3.75 million a year,
right?
That's a pretty fair number.
If we said four years at $4 million per. That's huge. What Selma Babcock's making. It's not what the couple top guys are making, but it's more than double what you were in line to make already. If they did that and Barry Trotz said that's not good enough, I say let's have no hard feelings and wish everybody the best.
They did what they were supposed to
exactly.
do. They did nothing wrong. However, if they just said to him and played hardball and said, you signed this contract. This was your idea as much as it was ours when we put pen to paper a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You said you'd coach for less than $2 million. You got to coach for less than $2 million. And they didn't want to budge after he won you a cup. Then I think that that's a bad look. But we don't know the answer to that yet, and I don't know when we'll find that out. Let's get to the calls next. 800-636-1067. Next segment will be all yours. We want your reaction. What are your thoughts on the idea that Reardon isn't a slam dunk, according to McClellan? Is he just kind of saying what he has to at this point? I guess my summation of this whole thing is no hard feelings. I hope Barry Trotz has success elsewhere. But Todd Reardon better be a good hockey coach. You better
you
be right.
A shot.
Grant and Danny on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Two major DC stories to cover today on Grant and Danny. And frankly, that'll be the heavy lifting over these 4 hours. The Caps don't have a head coach. Barry Trotz resigning after winning the Stanley Cup. Fifth time in 40 years someone's not going to be the head coach of the team they just won the cup with. And in three of those circumstances, some oddities, like guys retiring or passing away.
Yeah. Illness, becoming a general manager, retiring, and one time Mike Keenan left to go be the coach of the St. Louis Blues.
Right.
That's basically the last time something like this happened. That was in 94.
Basically second time in four decades that we've seen a guy who just decided to go elsewhere. And that's what Barry Trotz is doing. We're getting your reactions at 800-636-1067. At 11 a.m. in 25 minutes, the Nats made a fantastic trade last night. They brought in a dominant right-handed reliever named Kelvin Herrera from the Royals, who helped them win a World Series in 2015, who has made two All-Star appearances, who sits 99 miles an hour, and who I have always loved. And I just am thrilled about this deal, and I know Danny is as well. We'll be discussing it in the 11 o'clock hour with you here on G&D. Brian McClellan on the Barry Trotz conversations that were ongoing.
Our discussions with his representative centered around that and what he was looking to accomplish through negotiations. So we had several discussions on what they were looking for and about the existing contract, and we weren't able to come to an agreement.
This was Barry Trotz when we last heard from him. This was actually last week when he talked about how much he liked being in this organization.
We'll talk. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know. If you think about it, I've had years to think about what I'm going to do with the cup, and I still don't know, and I'm standing here talking to you about it. So, I got an opportunity here with Mac and with the Capitals. I started here. I got lots of... you want a cup here. We got lots of good things going. So, we'll work through it. We'll work through what we need to do if that's what they want, and then we'll, it's something to get done. If not, then we'll deal with that.
And hearing those comments, I already didn't think he was coming back, and that's when we said, this doesn't sound like a guy who's sure he's coming back, but
yeah.
Now we know. His contract had kicked in. He needed to... deal redone, restructured, needed a bigger raise than what they were willing to give him, and he wasn't sure that was going to happen. Tom's in Manassas on the Fan. What's your thought on what happened last night?
Yeah, I'm not outraged, Grant, but I'm definitely upset, you know. First of all, I can't stop watching Game 6 against Tampa Bay, man. God, that was awesome. But anyway, I agree, Reardon better be the legit. Trotz pushed all the right buttons this year. He made all the moves with the injuries and the line changes. So I was like, pay him whatever he wants. So I try and step outside and look at it from a national level. And I think nationally speaking, people are going to say the Caps botched this. You got a year or two left with this core. If we can sign Carlson, so let's make another run. Grant, yeah, I don't know if they can repeat. I don't think they will, but we didn't think that last year. So do what you can to make it happen. So it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, Redskins-esque. But, you know, I'm not going to let it dampen my celebration. I'm still going to be watching all the post-game coverage or post-cup coverage you're doing so finely.
That's actually a really good way to word it, too, Danny, I think. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
That's what it is.
That's perfect. I am not angry, and I was expecting this, but I've got now a bad aftertaste. But as I told someone who I texted with this morning when they said, are you upset? I can't really move myself to upset yet. It's been 12 days since they won a Stanley Cup.
A, I'm still overjoyed that DC has a professional sports trophy. The parade happened. It was great. B, I'm never right about almost anything. But I called this one. This is actually the one thing I did get right, was that I've always had this inclination. Now, I didn't know it was going to be like this, that Trotz was going to walk away. I saw a guy that was two things, kind of like a dichotomy going. A guy that was just tired. A guy that was just not that – it wasn't that much fun to come to work at times, I think. It was grinding on him, the wear and tear of this year. I didn't know all the different things about the Bears Feluga story that Isabel Kershudian wrote with him. I didn't even have that information.
Let me say real quick what some of those things are, because a lot of people don't know what you're talking
Please.
About. That includes him not getting the extension when McClellan did and being a little miffed by that. That includes Reardon not being allowed to interview with other teams, and he was the coach in waiting. That includes Trotz almost being fired around Thanksgiving. That includes him not allowing his assistants to have meetings with players early this year because he thought that was the right tack to take with a bunch of guys who were very dejected at the end of last season, which led to some tension between him and his assistants.
Yeah, licking their wounds from that Pittsburgh loss.
So, yeah, you're right. There was drama early this season.
And
with
so
this
then
team.
Beyond that, I said, hey, I also thought he was carefree for the playoffs. And the reason I thought he was carefree was he looked like a guy that knew he wasn't coming back. And I think he even mouthed that to Tortorella. That's kind of where I felt about this, is that I don't care about what's going on. I'm not coaching for my job because I know I'm leaving.
I agree. I think that we talked about this on the show. He made a lot of decisions that he wouldn't have made if he was sure he was going to be back. It made him a better coach to coach without certainty and to coach for his future in a lot of ways. And I thought, as soon as I saw that comment to Tortorella that a lot of people around here dismissed, I don't mean at the station as much as around town. Well, we don't know what he was saying. No, it looked like he was saying, I'm not coming back. Art is in Maryland on the Fan. What's up, Art? How are you?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I'm going to give you some names and tell you the history of coaches with Ted Leonsis as the owner. Glenn Hanlon, Bruce Cassidy, Adam Oates, Dale Hunter, Bruce Boudreau, all of which first-time head coaches, yep. Never had any type of Stanley Cup, even as an assistant, under their belts. Then you have a guy that has a history as a head coach in the NHL with Barry Trotz. They got him cheap because he didn't have a cup under his belt and could never get past the second round in Nashville. Now that he's got a cup, they don't want to pay him. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Todd Reardon, who now, if I recall, has two cups as an assistant. And if they try and pay him what Trotz was already making, that, you know, with no head coaching.
Well, I don't think they'll have to
prior.
Pay Art what Trotz was making. I agree with everything you said, by the way. I think it's largely a really, really good call. He's not going to make $2 million as a first-time coach. I mean, there are a couple of coaches who just got hired that kind of give us a ballpark figure. And the number with the Rangers was 1.4, I think. And that was a college coach who hadn't been an assistant. So maybe Reardon gets somewhere between 1.4 and 2. But if he's at 1.75, he's in the ballpark. I guess Trotz could take that maybe as a little bit of a slap in the face. But he's not going to care that much after he moves on. Again, they better be right on Reardon. Because they're going to have to pay him more than they would a first-time coach generally. Because also, They didn't let him interview previously. Right. There had to be some type of sweetheart deal there.
That first-time coaches list is the thing. Again, the Nationals have done this, and much to my chagrin, whether it's not first-time head coaches, but they have undervalued and underpaid their managerial coach position. I understand that Mike Rizzo is more important than whoever's writing the lineup card out for the Nationals. I get that. I wish they valued the position more. I've said that since their inception.
Trotz was the first coach, Danny, hired for Ovechkin that had a game of NHL coaching
experience. And I will never forget, I was filling in for Chad the day that Adam Oates was named the new head coach of the Washington Capitals, right? So I was doing the show with LeVar, and we had George McPhee on, and he bristled like you would not believe when I brought up the idea that when you hire a coach that's never been hired as a head coach before, you're basically saying you know better than the other teams. You see something that nobody else has seen yet, and it's a bit of a risk. And you would have thought I asked him, like, hey, do me a favor and throw your dog off the roof. He was curt and short and irritated
with
me.
Well, that's weird, worded in kind of an attacking way a little bit.
Well, it's because it's a long line of first-time head coaches. And then he said, well, the one time I hired a coach with some experience, and I was like, okay, well, you know, because this is an adventure you're going on. They have treated this position cheaply. The Wizards have done the same until Scott Brooks. It's frustrating, I think, to think that they're you know, trying to save a few bucks here.
Nick Thurmont, you're on the Fan. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Hey, man.
I'm really upset because these guys are starting to act like Redskin management, and I don't think you want to be like Redskin management. This guy brought something to this city that nobody else has brought, and look at the excitement that it brought. And now they're going to blow it? Are you kidding? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Pay the guy his money and be done with it, and let's see what happens. He's earned it.
But, Nick, what if they said to him, we'll pay you $4 million a year for 4 years? Wouldn't you feel different?
Yes.
I agree. We don't know that they didn't. And my guess is that they did not. I'm with you, Nick, for the record. I'm playing devil's advocate. But I think until we know definitively that they settled in and dug their heels in on around $2 million, I don't think we can completely crush them for not being willing to pay Barry Trotz. Because, Danny, what if they went to him and gave him a fair number and he said, I'm good, man, thanks.
I want this huge number of years and huge amount of money. That's his right to ask, and it's their right to say no. So I would say if they upped their offer significantly and he still said no, then to me there's no harm, no foul.
Remember,
no hard feelings.
Trotz also was in an organization for over a decade. He knows what it's like when you overstay your welcome, mm-hmm. or – you know, when you're in a locker room long enough that your voice starts being drowned out a little bit. Maybe he also felt like, I came here, I saw, I conquered, I did what I was supposed to do.
Right.
Time to go try somewhere else. 800-636-1067. A chance for you to jump in. We'll take a couple more calls on Barry Trotz's resignation. 11 o'clock, we're going to pivot to the Nats, who made a major trade and got a big bullpen upgrade last night. Right here on Grant and Danny, you're listening to The Fan.
Well, I do want to be back. There's some things that we have to work out. There's some things that I've talked to Mac. If we can get them worked out, then there's no question. I love the group of guys. I love the situation I'm in with the team, you know, the location for my son and my wife and all that. So all that's in place. There's some issues that we've got to just work through, and we will. And we'll go from there. We'll just work through it.
Barry Trotz on his future as of 1 week ago. His future is now no longer with the Capitals. He resigned from a 2-year deal that kicked in after he won the Stanley Cup that we didn't know about. We're Grant and Danny. Welcome back. You're listening to The Fan. In 10 minutes, we're pivoting to the Nationals. Barry's Sverluga will join us. They made a big trade for a reliever, and it's a massive deal to jumpstart the market in Major League Baseball. Mike Rizzo winning the race to the trade market. Barry Sverluga says they got to do some other things, though.
He said that should be the beginning.
So we will talk with him coming up at 11 a.m. D.C. time. By the way, our buddy E.J. Raddick's going to jump on the show at 11:30.
Oh, nice.
He's going to give us some thoughts on the Barry Trotz situation. Deanne says, I don't think the Caps are being cheap in this. I think they feel they can get the same thing or maybe something they like better and a current assistant coach for less money. This is good business, really. Look, that's a pro-team way of thinking of it that is absolutely relevant if, in fact, you believe that Todd Reirden's a really good future head coach. DC Sports Rule says Reed Vogt's caps. It's Mike Vogel, who is a team employee who does a lot of amazing content.
He does a really nice job
on the Capitals website. Says the caps would meet the money, not the years. Trott should honor his contract and coach for the next 2 years. Well, first of all, again, Vogel works for the team. He's a team employee. So I'm not saying to dismiss what he's saying at all. I'm just saying that his take might be team-friendly at times. I love Mike Vogel, and most of the content I get on the Capitals is from him. So I'm a big fan of his work. But I think that that needs to at least be mentioned when the team is at a dispute with a coaching hiring candidate.
Sure, I think that's fair.
So that's something to note. Number two, let's say that they would meet the money, which I'm not saying. I don't know that they wouldn't. I made the case earlier. Maybe they would come up a few million dollars and get to $3.5-4 million, whatever. Cool. At that point, Barry Trotz should probably take that. And if not, then the team did its job. Until we know that they came up definitively, I'm just not sure that we can say the team did everything it could have to have kept him. As I said earlier, though, Danny, I'm fine with this all the way around. I wish Barry Trotz was staying. I'm not upset or angry. I think the Caps have known for a while that Todd Reirden was going to be their next head coach. They don't want to pay a lot of money for the head coaching position, and they're going to do what they've done for everyone other than Barry Trotz, which is get someone and give them a chance to flourish as a first-time coach.
I can spin two plates here, and that's what I'm doing. I can look at this and say, I understand where everybody's coming from. I have no problem with that on its face. Big picture, the second part, the last thing you just said, will irritate me. I hate the idea that they nickel-dime at a pretty important thing. They've done it for basketball. They've done it for hockey over the course of the years, even though I think Ted Leonsis is a very good hockey owner. And I've said as much, we'll continue to say as much. He's done a very nice job culturally with a lot of things. This is not one of their strengths. I hate the idea that they're going to cry poverty, that they're not a major market team in the aftermath of what just happened here in Washington, D.C. That will stick in my craw that they're just looking to save a few dollars. Now, if you're that confident in Todd Reirden that he's a genius and he's the second coming and he's the greatest coach that's never coached and that's all well and good, you're right. I'll eat my crow. But I'll tell you this. You had a bird in hand, and you had the ability to do it. And if it was a matter of, we can go a little cheaper because we like to go cheaper, that ain't cool with me.
Unrelated, I do wonder what keeping Reirden and the in-house candidacy of a guy who coached up the defense does for the John Carlson conversation. Presumably, they've got a good rapport.
Because I know he saved Kent this season.
Neil, Falls Church, how are you?
Hey, guys. Still on cloud nine over this Capitol victory. I've been a Capitol fan for God knows how long, for over 30 years, and still loving this. But this whole thing right here, I think you guys made a lot of good points about Barry Trotz and the upper management. I don't think this is about money, and I'll kind of draw a comparison a little bit too. About 12 years ago, a manager by the name of Joe Torre was in negotiations with general manager Brian Cashman of the Yankees, and they came in, I think, with a 2-year deal for Torre. And keep in mind, Torre was already he had already won about 4 World Series at the time, and it wasn't about with the Yankees. It's not never about money, but they lowballed him then. And I think the when it's all said and done, the dust is cleared, we're going to see that the Capitals lowballed Trotz. They didn't want him. They weren't interested in him. They already knew, like you said, that they were going to move on with their assistant coach.
Yeah, Neil, it felt like they liked him, not loved him for a while. Right. Nathan's in Haymarket on G&D. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, guys. So I'm not too upset about this. I think that they have a lot of confidence in Reirden. They brought him in to fix the defense or whatever. You might lose Carlson, so you may be able to band-aid that a little bit. But you guys touched a little bit earlier about how Trotz, he made the adjustments in the playoffs this year that he never did before. Like he coached like he had nothing to lose. And Grant, I think you made the comment a couple weeks ago that he's like the Capitals' Dusty Baker. Like he gets you there, but he can't get you over the hump. So I wanted to know what do you guys think about how many wins is Barry Trotz or Reirden worth? Because you're going to have the core of the team necessarily the same. Maybe you lose Carlson, maybe you don't.
Yeah, it's sort
but how
to
much
quantify.
Is Barry? Barry Trotz.
I was just going to say, it's a good question. Sorry to cut you off. It's hard to quantify. How many wins is Barry Trotz worth? I don't know the specifics. I do know this. In 4 years, a .677 winning percentage. 2 President's Cup trophies and a Stanley Cup. You better be sure. My God, you better be sure that the next guy can do just as much.
Yeah, I don't really view it as how many wins is a guy worth because I'm not sure that it's quantifiable in that way. I view it as a binary, is he a championship-level coach or not? And before he won a Stanley Cup, he was a championship-level coach. Rich, Gaithersburg, you get the last word on this. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going today?
Come in.
Good.
Hey, it's been 4 great years, and I love Barry Trotz, and I was jumping up and down when he became available and we got him. But some hockey teams change coaches more often than some people change their underwear. From what I've seen, Reardon is an architect on the defense. Lambert runs the power play. Trotz is a motivational guy. And for him to keep the room focused for 4 years, I think we'll just say thank you very much. It's been 4 of the best years in this franchise's history. And we keep the architect of the defense, not let anybody else have him. And we just go on from here. And I think everything's going to be just fine.
I agree. But you saw the way they celebrated and sprayed champagne and hugged him and treated him when he got back into the dressing room. That means something.
Congrats to Jay Gruden, longest tenured head coach in Washington.
It's crazy, man. It really is.
Here we are.
Barry Sferluga of the Washington Post wrote about the Nats trade for Kelvin Herrera. A good bullpen got a little bit better for the Washington Nationals yesterday. We will talk with Barry Sferluga coming up next on Grant and Danny. Hey, guys. Grant Paulson for Quip. Quip's an electric toothbrush. I've been telling you about them. Fraction of the cost of those bulkier brushes that you've got in your bathroom. Still packs the right amount of vibrations to help clean your teeth. Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist-recommended 2 minutes with guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides. Everybody loves Quip. Oprah's O-List, named one of Time's best inventions of the year. This is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. They're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers. Brushing your teeth is important. Your health starts with the 2 minutes you're spending brushing your teeth every morning and every night before you go to bed. Quip's built-in timer is going to clean those teeth for those 2 minutes in a way that none of your toothbrushes have previously. Quip starts at $25. If you go to getquip.com/grant right now, you're going to get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/grant. It's spelled GETQUIP.com/grant.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.